And a good morning to you and welcome to the show. And you know, in the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, all your putts are good no matter where they are from. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the ball that fits you. By Kent Wool, the world's best sock. And by Sea Palms Resort, visit Sago, their newest addition with well-known chef Johnny Carino. On the show, we're going to talk with Justin Parsons, the elite instructor at the Sea Island Golf Performance Center, on how he's worked with various pros to improve their games that has led to some wins this year. Then we'll talk with Jason Bale, director of instruction at Jupiter Hills Club, about how he teaches high school, college players, and also he's going to talk to us about how he gets his students to make better contact. And then finally, we'll go to Missouri to a new golf destination, Big Cedar Lodge, with Todd Bone, the director of agronomy, about working with course designers like Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, Tiger Woods, and a few more, and what it's like to work for Johnny Morris, the owner, who only wants the best. But first up, to start the show, we have a chance to sit down and talk with Justin Parsons, who's been busy with the end of the season and the playoffs, the elite instructor at Sea Island Golf Performance Center, about working with Harris English and how proud he was of how he played in the U.S. Open.
I'm delighted to see, you know, Harris continue to move forwards. You know, obviously, you know, you get to East Lake and it's very easy to have like a little bit of a hangover from the performances he's put in. You know, we talked a lot about the fact that he's going to be able to play golf with freedom. The misconstrued idea that you can go out there and just be lethargic, but the real idea is to allow him to understand that the work that he's done up to this point, you know, gives him an opportunity to manage his own schedule and manage his own time a little bit more professionally than maybe he has done in the past. And that's something we talked about before we went up to New York. And you know, I can't tell you how excited I am for the future for him, to the reaction that he showed after losing a golf ball at the first yesterday, which of course is very unusual in a major championship, was fabulous. You know, he got a little bit of a break on two, holding a bunker shot, albeit it was a beautiful looking bunker shot, and you know, he played really, really good coming down the stretch. You know, he's developing into someone who's going to have a legitimate chance to win some of these big tournaments and big championships over the next 4 to 6 years, and you know, it's thrilling to be a part of it with him.
All right, when you and Harris started to work together, what was one of the things that you think is helping to make a difference in his game, in his mental aspect of how he's approaching what he's doing now?
I think, you know, for him, understanding that, you know, when he's fatigued going into tournaments, you know, he starts to lose a little bit of the precision in his movements. I can spot it in his practice swings and the way he goes about his practice and things like that. You know, and he's really started to manage his rest like a top 20 player in the world, and that's something we've been trying to do and trying to instill in him. And even this morning we're having discussions about scheduling, you know, going into the fall. And you know, again, this has been an attritional period of golf. You know, San Francisco was difficult. The playoffs, a lot of them were difficult. You know, he was finishing well, played well at East Lake, then a very, very attritional week last week in New York. So I think, you know, him learning to manage his rest and manage himself as a professional athlete's been a big part of, you know, being able to, you know, continue to have the consistent results that he's had.
So after the playoffs, after where he's gone and the U.S. Open, when do you think Harris will come back as far as playing a tour event?
You know, I think he loves Mississippi. He played well in Mississippi last year. The guys up there have been great to him. And I know he loves the golf tournament there. Then we've got two tournaments in Las Vegas back-to-back on the West Coast, and then another one in Los Angeles. So, you know, looking at that run, you know, he's just got to figure out for himself whether, you know, it's the right thing to do for him to go to Mississippi and play, or whether it would be a good, prudent bit of business to take 2 weeks, you know, get a full rest week this week and maybe take the Mississippi week off and play, you know, go to Vegas. He may then do a short week in Mississippi, and he's going to, you know, ultimately, you know, he's still the boss. He makes the decisions, and you know, he's fortunate enough to have a good group of people around him that have his best interests at heart, and we can advise him the best we can.
Right, tell us about how you became Gary Woodland's coach. I was surprised to hear that. You probably knew about it because you had some discussions with him, but how did that come about?
Well, Gary, I did 2 weeks up in Ohio, and we had a little bit of a chat on the Memorial Week, and it was more of a friend because I've known Gary for quite a few years. Obviously, he's worked for Butch Harmon, worked with Butch Harmon for many years, worked with Claude a little bit, you know, once Butch kind of, you know, he went away from being on the road a lot, and then he went back to work with Butch. And Gary's a phenomenal athlete and a very, very gifted player, as we all know. And, one of the things about some of those very athletic players is they don't really want a lot of clutter. They want to be able to be just told in very simple terms what to do. And as I've reminded Gary since we got started, I see that as a great strength and not a weakness. You know, he doesn't want to delve into the mechanics of the golf swing. He's got no real interest in understanding exactly how it all works. He wants to be able to go out there and play golf. And, you know, many of us, you know, who grew up playing, we got too much into that, and it can really destroy you as a player. So really the backstory then was Gary wanted somebody who was able to communicate simply in very simple terms, in terms that he understands, just to allow him to go out and execute. And you know, I went up to Kansas and we spent a little bit of time before the US Open. You know, I didn't want to go ahead of, you know, my position as his instructor, but it was clear that he had some left hip issues, which, you know, I know he's up getting some more exploratory things done today on the Monday after the US Open. He's had a torn labrum in there for a few years, and it's just reared up a little bit lately, and he's a real warrior. You know, we stood in that putting green on Thursday evening after he came in, and you know, he'd really tried to get around the golf course. He hadn't been able to play that many holes in prep, and he was, you know, he's a proud guy and wanted to put in a defense of his title. And I was I was very proud to be associated with him and the way he dealt with the week, because believe me, he was not operating at, you know, anywhere near his full capacity.
And that's not a golf course that you can really do much with, not playing at full capacity.
No, none of these major championships. I mean, we saw Tony Finau do an amazing job at Augusta, you know, where he kind of hit it off his right leg, and you know, some of these big guys can kind of do that, but you know, certainly somewhere like Wingfoot, you really needed to have mentally, physically, technically, all aspects needed to be pretty much aligned to be able to get it done.
All right, you and I have been doing some interviews for the past couple of years since you've been here at Sea Island, and you have become very busy, and you've got some, you know, top players, big names. You're probably more in a position now where, you know, you can kind of pick who you want to work with, but your schedule is getting extremely busy.
You know, I've been very, very fortunate, you know, here. You know, I think that, you know, we've got a great crop of players here. You know, sometimes you just arrive at the right place at the right time with some of these guys. You know, I think Harris was going to come back to form. You know, you look at Michael Thompson's record as an amateur and as a pro, and the fact they'd already won on the PGA Tour, and it was really, you know, it was really putting them just on a road towards, you know, getting back to who they are. You know, I've got to think, you know, as I sit here on the Monday after the US Open, you know, I got to applaud what Chris Como and the team have done with Bryson DeChambeau. I would say that I was skeptical when I saw him at East Lake. You know, he wasn't hitting the golf ball very straight. You know, he looked as if he was almost trying to tone down the distance, and how wrong, you know, you can get it whenever you're in our position as outsiders looking in, and the game of golf both humbles and surprises you all the time. And you know, so I've been lucky to be inserted into a scenario where we've got a great crop of players here, and I've been able to help a few of them get back to, you know, to where they want to be. I mean, a couple of guys I'm still working on, and I've got a couple of young players that I'm really excited to be working for. So, you know, the job keeps me busy. No matter where I go in the world, it seems to still be like that. And in this climate, 2020, I think it's a good problem to have.
Justin Parsons, the lead instructor at the Sea Island Golf Performance Center, talking about working with Harris English, other pros, and Michael Thompson, who won on the PGA Tour this year. Next up is our live interview with Jason Bale from Jupiter, Florida. We'll be right back on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Hey, this is Jeff Crawford with Mizuno. You listen to the Back Nine Boys.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. Glad you're with us. Our next guest is Jason Bale, Director of Instruction now at Jupiter Hills Club. Good morning, Jason. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are things in Jupiter?
Things in Jupiter are spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. It's a great place to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of pros that live down there. Do you know why all of a sudden over the last couple of years that area has just, you know, exploded with some of the pros living down there?
Well, Florida's tax laws probably are a big part of that.
But, yeah.
Jupiter itself is such a really cool place to live. The amount of great golf courses in the area and practice facilities, along with, you know, year-long weather that allows these guys to practice and feel good. And it's just a really cool place to live. I liken it a lot to the St. Simons area as well. I mean, it's just a great family area and really good for golf.
All right, when you work with somebody for the first time, what do you want to know about their game? Do you think they really know what they need to work on?
Most of the time, not. The word that I've banned from our learning environment is consistency. I don't like that word.
Right.
We replace that with predictable. So I want a player to be able to predict the shape of their shot and to be able to predict the trajectory of their shot. And consistency is kind of elusive in golf. It's the most inconsistent game there is. From a, you know, outside influence standpoint.
Right.
So, what we're trying to do in the beginning is kind of judge the commitment level of the player. Is the commitment level of the player just, hey, I like to play on Saturdays and I just want to play a little bit better, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or somebody that has a really high commitment level. And our job as coaches is to match a plan to that commitment level and make that where it's seamless between the coach and the athlete. And when we were able to match a really good plan with the ability of that player to practice and work on their games, then that's where the secret sauce is.
Describe the secret sauce. I mean, a lot of folks use that. I mean, it's not a hot term, but there is something that you've got to discover as a teacher, but also as a player, that really helps you go to that next level.
Yeah, a lot of players, when they come to see a coach, everything they say, I'm losing distance, or I don't make enough putts, and, you know, my short game's not good, whatever. Okay, our job as coaches is to keep drilling that down into the smallest things. So let's take a player that says he doesn't putt well enough. Okay, well, that's not good enough for the coach, so we have to drill down. So in some testing measures that we'll do in a very short amount of time, we can find out whether that player's the skill level in putting. So if we just said, what are the skills of putting? Well, the skills of putting would be, can I start my golf ball on my intended line? Can I control my speed? Can I read the greens? And do I think I'm a badass? And that's the confidence part. So obviously, if they don't think they can putt very well, their badass meter's on the low side.
Right.
We're going to drill down in some testing to find out whether the ability to read greens is really the problem, or the ability to control speed, or the ability to start the ball online. And usually just comes down to one to one and a half of those things. And so now as a coach, we're not just talking about putting. We're drilling it down into, hey, we need to start the ball online better. So we're going to learn to control the face a little bit better. Does that require a grip change? Does that require a setup change? But we have to have a reason for what we're changing.
Okay.
So that the player actually understands the need for that.
Gotcha. So when somebody comes to you and they, you know, say, you know, this is what's going on, or this is what's going on, don't you feel, and you and I kind of talked about that recently, don't you feel that really it just, like a lot of other sports, it just comes back to the basics?
No doubt.
Yeah.
Every player is unique to themselves. Every individual, obviously, is unique. And their cues and fundamental setup changes, where the ball is, things like that. All of those things, when they get off, they immediately start invading the golf swing. So that virus starts running through there. And then the player usually goes back and says, my swing is messed up. I'm going to change my swing. And usually it comes back to the fact that the ball's moved, or the alignment's off, or the grip and club face matchup is off. And immediately when you put those things back together, their swing comes back, and then you can look at determining factors after that. But we always try to start with the pre-swing types of things. If
Right.
everything's in line pre-swing, we've got a better chance. if things are not, then that virus is going to start running through the swing.
Yeah, so in other words, that's kind of what you want to see the first time you work with somebody is how they set up and, you know, their grip and their stance and their takeaway.
Yeah, and I want to know what their version of how the ball flies is. A lot of players are worried about internal things in their golf swing and not really focusing on the shot shape and how the ball is flying. And
right.
If you ask them to change how the ball flies, it's amazing what happens to the swing.
Yeah, so how important, in your opinion, is ball position? And ball position doesn't always mean under the logo or in the middle of your stance. It kind of changes based on what clubs you're using.
Yeah, it changes also on grip style. So a player that has a what would old term would be a weaker left-hand grip, Jose Maria Olazabal played that way. That ball position usually needs to be favored more forward because the club face will square later in the process. A player with a stronger left-hand grip, like Paul Azinger or Zach Johnson, that ball needs to be played a little further back in the stance because that matches up. That club face usually squares up quicker in the downswing. So ball position's individual to grip. So I always talk about matching a club face to a grip and matching a ball position to a grip. And then it, within that, we get some better contact. We get some better start directions.
Okay, so as an instructor, and you've done this all over, because you were here at Sea Island for a while, then South Carolina, and now down in Jupiter, what is the first move in your swing? Is it your hands, your hips, or both?
Talking about in the backswing, Rich?
Yeah, what's the first thing when you're set up and you start? What do you want them, what's the first thing they should be doing?
Well, we always, we kind of talk about the backswing, the golf swing starts from the top of the body and the downswing starts from the bottom of the body. So depending once again on the grip style type of thing, because I'm going to always try to match that up. And I would always ask the player instead of me telling them what it should be when they're making good swings. I would ask them, you're going to hear things like, I really feel my arms swing away. And the next player is going to say, I really feel my left shoulder working down. And the next player is going to say, I really feel the club head hinging. And once I find when they're swinging good what they feel, then those are the things I'm going to remind them of constantly. Did you feel this? Did you feel that? Even though the upper – and all of those are obviously upper body types of things that would start the backswing. So very rarely will I give the player the cue. I always want the player to give me the cue of what they feel.
Okay, and now in this society of convenience, we want everything right now, right away. Do you find still today that some people come to you and say, I think I just need a little tune-up and then I'll be fine, and they come to you for one stop and then they're gone?
Yeah, and that's, once again, that's kind of going back to the plan versus and the commitment level, trying to match those up.
Right.
Most players are digging into too many rabbit holes, and then the looking for the answer someplace on the internet or their friends or who can't beat them anyway. And they're never matched up with a continual plan. A continual plan doesn't mean that you have to take a lesson every week.
Right.
It's setting some solid goals. We call them outcome goals. Like I'm a 10 handicapper and I want to be a 5. Well, that's an outcome goal. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're actually looking for the mental performance goals and the physical performance goals that would allow the player to get to a 5. And so some of the mental side, just meaning, am I committed to each shot? When I practice, am I practicing effectively? Even if a player comes in and he wants a quick tune-up, we're still going to have those conversations about how do we transfer this skill to the golf course?
Right.
How are we going to use what we're doing? And that comes in, preparation.
So let's say you're working with somebody once a week. You know when that second time that you're with them, if they've practiced what you talked about in the first session.
No doubt. And, and like my lesson when we get off the phone is somebody that that had a backswing virus in there that was very deeply ingrained as a motor pattern. And we had to have the conversation that if we wanted to really improve, that his plan and commitment level had to be stronger because this virus wasn't going to be able to be treated in an hour.
Yeah.
And to the player's credit, every day this week he's been in here and we've worked on changing that motor pattern, because that was the only way he was going to reach his goals. Other players, sometimes we can make huge adjustments in 30 minutes just based off of the intent of what they're trying to accomplish. Where do they want the ball to start? Which way do they want it to curve?
Right.
So all of those things are always individual to the player.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I know you started up here, St. Simon's Sea Island, who have been your mentors in the business?
Well, you know, when I first got to Sea Island and I was standing on the tee one of my first weeks there, given a lesson, and I looked down there and there was Jack Lumpkin and Todd Anderson and Gail Peterson, and Mike Shannon was on the putting green, and Randy Myers was there, and I thought I was taking batting practice with the Yankees. It was so overwhelming, all these guys that, and ladies that I had seen in magazines and grown up with. So it goes without saying that they've been huge mentors in my life and my career. James Siegman has been a huge influence on me from a coaching style. Cameron McCormick, Mike Adams, people like that that have meant the world to me as far as, you know, developing your coaching style, developing the pieces that you believe in.
All right. So over this time that you've worked with some of these names that are just, you know, right up there at the top, what is one of the most important things that you feel that you've learned from them?
Probably as a whole out of that is, like, I work with a PGA Tour player right now who is has a very unique way of swinging the golf club. And it's very unique to him, but it matches up, and it's worked obviously really well. So making sure that, you know, sometimes the secret in coaching is not what you're going to change, it's what you're going to leave with the player. And I think that's really important for coaches to understand is, like, if I change the wrong thing with this player, then it's like the house of cards might come crumbling down. I've always got to make sure that I'm looking at how that change may affect the other things the player does.
Okay.
And I think that's really important to notice.
And how important is it for you to kind of instill in the players not only the commitment, which if they really do want to get better, they will commit to do that, but confidence also comes in there a lot, where working with you, what they wanted to work on is improving all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's where you've got that planning level comes back in, is having measurables in practice that you know are going to transfer to the golf course and the way that they practice. So if we can get players to practice in a more game-like way,
right,
then that builds confidence, and that skill will then transfer to the golf course. Most of the time, players aren't practicing in a game-like way.
Right.
If a UFO flew over Jupiter Hills, and look down at the range and then look down at the golf course, if we're not careful, we would think those were two different sports.
Right.
One, you're moving around and it takes 8 minutes in between shots, and the other one is like 10 seconds in between shots.
Yeah.
And so we always want to create a situation where the player is practicing in a game-like way.
Well, one of the things that I've learned about golf, I took it up at a later age than I would have liked. I wish I would have taken it up much earlier, but it is one of the hardest games I think that I've ever played, and you never get to that point where you feel like you've mastered it or I figured it out, because the next day you don't.
Correct. As Gary Player once said, you know, you never own it, you only rent it, and the rent payments due every day. it's that kind of game. And you know, hate to harp on it, but the planning, that's where it is. Can you stay the best version of yourself more often?
Yeah. Well, Jason, how can folks get in touch with you? Give us some info on that.
Sure. I'm at Jupiter Hills Club down in beautiful Jupiter, Florida. They can follow me on Instagram at Jason Bale PGA or Twitter at Jason Bale PGA, or certainly contact me on Facebook.
You got it. Jason, thanks for being with us. Have a blessed day.
You got it, Rich. Thanks so much for all you guys do.
Okay, thank you. Jason Bale from Jupiter Hills Club down in Jupiter. And next up, we're going to go to the Big Cedar Lodge, home of Tiger's brand new course and the incredible 19th hole. We'll be talking with Todd Bone, the director of agronomy, right here next on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Lily Braswell from Wingfoot Golf Club, home of the U.S. Open, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. The founder of Bass Pro Shops, Johnny Morris, had a vision. And that vision is now being seen at Big Cedar Lodge, one of America's premier wilderness resorts. And with us on the phone, Todd Bone, Director of Agronomy. Good morning, Todd. Welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Good morning, Rich. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. Now, you are in an unbelievable spot of the country that has now become a great, great golf destination.
Yes, sir. We are very fortunate to be where we are. We have some beautiful countryside and some of the best golf in the country now. And thanks to our owner, Johnny Morris, for entrusting us all and building this fabulous resort in Ridgedale, Missouri. And not only do we have great golf, but we got a lot of other things down there at our resort with, spas and lake and go fishing and a lot of fun things for families and everybody to come enjoy.
Well, in case you don't know, listeners, Johnny Morris is the owner of Bass Pro Shops. And I want to ask you, Todd, how is it to work for Johnny knowing that what he wants to end up with, whatever it is, it's the best?
It's awesome. It's, I always want to be around somebody that wants to be the best because that's what I want to be. But he has got a vision and passion like no other person I've ever been around. He loves the outdoors. He loves to connect people to nature and the outdoors. And it exudes in everything that he does. If you walk into his stores, his Cabela's or Bass Pro stores, or you walk, into our resort or Wonders of Wildlife or Museum in Springfield or anything, his sole mission is to connect people to the outdoors and get them away from the TV sets and come out and enjoy the outside.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do. So tell us a little bit more so our listeners can hear more about Big Cedar Lodge.
Well, Big Cedar Lodge is a wilderness resort built on Table Rock Lake in Ridgedale, Missouri, which, if people don't know where that's at, it's just 10 minutes south of Branson, Missouri, in southwest Missouri. And we have, there's a spa, there's a fun center, where kids can go in and families alike, arcades, go-karts. We have private cabins to stay on the resort. We have lodges you can stay at on the resort. We have around 9 restaurants, different restaurants around on the resort. And that's just over at the resort. And then we have 5 golf courses. Obviously, we've got the par-3 Top of the Rock Jack Nicklaus design that people talk about or have seen on TV. It's the only golf course to host a PGA Tour event. We have a 13-hole Gary Player par-3 course called Mountaintop, which we just opened about 2 years ago.
Okay.
We have a Buffalo Ridge Springs course is our Tom Fazio course, which has been regularly ranked as the number one golf course in Missouri. Until recently, and it's a fabulous design. It used to be known as Branson Creek, but John bought it several years ago and renovated it, and really is a special place. A lot of people tell us they think it's one of Fazio's top 5 designs. Then we got some of our newer courses. We got our core Crenshaw design, Bill Core, Ben Crenshaw designed our Ozarks National course that opened about a year ago. And it is now the number one golf course in the state of Missouri, and Buffalo Ridge is now number 2.
Wow.
Just an awesome track. And then recently, obviously everybody just was watching. We hopefully on TV, we opened up our new Tiger Woods design, Payne's Valley Golf Course. And it's a breathtaking property.
I'll bet. Just some unbelievable names as far as course design. What was it like to know that Tiger was coming, working with Johnny, working with you to build this golf course, and then seeing what it looked like when you were all done?
Well, it was a labor of love to build the property. You know, it took us close to 3 years to get the property done.
Wow.
But it was, you know, I grew up in the era of Tiger Woods in his prime, and so obviously I was pretty starstruck at first. But once he got on property and watching him walk with John, you know, just all over that land and picking out the holes and Tiger's team and Tiger, you know, it just was really cool to see. You know, I've been very fortunate at the resort to be able to see several different architects do things, you know, come in and build things different ways. And so the different approaches is really cool to see. But watching John and Tiger interact, building that property and, you know, building the wide playing corridors for the golfers. They both wanted wide playing corridors. They both wanted kind of Augusta style bunkering. And it was a team and a match made in heaven, really, for those two to be together, because what they both wanted was pretty similar.
So of all the designers, Tiger's a perfectionist. Johnny wants the best. Cor Crenshaw do great work. I mean, I've played on a couple of their courses. You know, you got Fazio, you got Arnie, you got Jack. Was it difficult probably difficult's not the word, but how was it working with the various designers since you've been there?
It has been a lot of fun, actually, Rich. You know, they all, like I was just saying, they all have a different way of doing things, but the end product is all the same, and it's fabulous golf, and it's, you know, Ben and Bill, their approach is a minimalistic approach,
right.
So they try to move as less dirt as possible. You know, that's why they're very selective in the land that they choose. So the fact that they came to Big Cedar Lodge for John to build a golf course there speaks a lot of volumes about John and about the land that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then you go over and you work with Gary Player's team, and Gary Player's team is more, put a little more movement in the greens. You know, we want to challenge the players a little bit more. We want to have it walker friendly for everybody. We want to, and Bill and Ben do that too, want to have it walker friendly, but our Gary Player course is a walking only course for the fitness aspect of it.
Okay.
And a walk in nature. And then you go, you know, with Tiger's group and it's, you know, Tiger's and John's, guidances were they wanted people to have fun and not lose golf balls, try not to lose a lot of golf balls. So when you come onto that property, it's a big, vast, wide playing corridors, big, wide fairways, not a lot of trouble, but you can get into trouble still on the golf course, you know, if you're spraying it a long way, but there's a lot of room for people to hit it and go find it. And,
okay,
you know, that was one of Tiger's goals and John's goals in building that property.
Yeah, I mean, I can just imagine. I've had an opportunity to sit with Jack Nicklaus, and he said, earlier in my career, I built courses that basically were like I would play the course, so they would be to a fade. He says, as I've gotten older, he said, I've put in more forward tees and made the courses more playable for all kinds of shots.
Yes, and I think that that's a lot of the same philosophies that you see in architects these days. You know, the whole distance aspect in golf is under, you know, is being talked about a lot right now. And
yeah.
So, you know, when we had all those guys show up during the Payne's Valley Cup for us to play, it was really interesting to see just how far guys are hitting golf balls. You know, when you have Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Justin Rose, and Tiger there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see the aspects that people are talking about, bunker placements, tee locations, tee yardages, just a lot of that, to where for the average golfer, those are probably going to be more of a challenge for those guys. You know, they were able to navigate the course because they're hitting it so dang far right now. A little easier than some of the others. But, you know, the golf course, all of our golf courses down there have a lot of tee options for people, which is awesome. Forward tees, back tees. So any groups or any level of skill of golfers will be able to have a good time, we feel, on our properties.
So when you watch that TV event with Johnny and the four pros, which one of those four pros impressed you the most by seeing them up close and the way that they navigated through the golf course?
I tell you, it's probably a tie between the two, but watching Rory hit the driver is a sight to be seen.
It is.
I mean, I think I've heard a lot of people say he's considered one of the best drivers in the world with the driver. And,
yeah,
man, he can just – it's unbelievable to watch him hit it in person. But a close second to him is Justin Thomas, and just the difference in the body, you know, the size of the two guys and everything, and yet they're still just hitting the ball out there. And it's really impressive, and it was a lot of fun to have them come join us, and it was a great day.
Yeah, it looked like a great day, and I want to talk to you more about some other things about the golf course at Payne's Valley and the other ones, but we're going to have to take a break, so Todd, hang on with us, and we'll be right back. But we also want to tell you about what you need to think about 4:30 today, and that's a deep dish pizza only from CJ's Italian Restaurant. Check out their full menu at cjsitalianrestaurant.com. Deep dish is what they are known for, but their thin crusts are also good. So are their soft shells. They make pizzas and calzones. They've got all your adult beverages that you want, appetizers, salads, sandwiches, pastas, and everything else. And everything in their kitchen is made from scratch every morning, including the doughs, the breads, the sauces, the dressings. And they do a lot. They're going to come out to your car. You call your order in. They got some parking spots out front. Pull up, they'll come out, you give them your name, they'll go back in, bring your order. It's just that easy. Only at CJ's Italian Restaurant. Check out their menu at cjsitalianrestaurant.com.
Brad Klein here, veteran golf writer, author of Discovering Donald Ross, and thrilled to be on Back Nine Boys Golf Show again.
That's Brad Klein, good guy. And we want to thank you for coming back with us. We're on the phone with Todd Bone from Big Cedar Lodge. Todd, you know, you've worked with all these designers. It was interesting to work with Tiger. Took 3 years to build Payne's Valley. How special is it for you and Johnny and the Big Cedar family to have a course named after Payne Stewart?
It is an extremely high honor for us, especially with Payne Stewart growing up just right up the road in Springfield, Missouri, which is where John grew up as well. And just to be able to have a property like this in his memory. And, I learned something along the way that, you know, Tiger and Payne were good buddies on tour. And Tiger, at the opening ceremony, was talking about how Payne used to haze him a lot on the tour and used to do some fun things. And they had some jabbings back and forth. And just what the Payne Stewart family means to our area in Springfield and to that area, it's just a really fitting tribute to have his name on that property.
Yeah, that is just neat, and to have Tiger involved with that. Has the family been back to see the course at all?
Yes. Yeah, so Tracy, Payne's wife, was there, and he's got some sisters that still live in Springfield, and they were there when we announced it, and then they all came back for the grand opening.
Cool!
A couple weeks ago, along with Payne's son Aaron, who is a spitting clone of Payne Stewart,
yeah,
looks just like him in person. And Aaron hit the ceremonial first shot for us off the tee box, and just a really fun day to have him and have all them be a part of it.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us about this 19th hole. I mean, it looked on TV and in the pictures, drone shots, whatever, incredible. How did that all come about?
A lot of long days and a lot of fun. Totally designed by John Morris. Just a very climactic ending to everything that we've done on all of our properties. It is a sight to behold. It really is. It was a lot of fun to do it, but it's a 140-yard par 3, surrounded totally by water, so you got to be on point when you hit your tee ball down
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's a cascading water features all around behind it. And then the dramatic part of it, and after you hit your tee shot and play the hole, is you're going to drive out a cart trail that's going up a 230-foot rock cliff. And along the way, you know, just fitting for John. You're going to get immersed in nature, and you're going to see just a ton of rock, you know, ancient rock features, waterfalls, wildlife. You're going to come up, and you're going to go through a cave at the top, and you're going to come out of the cave, and you're just going to traverse this really beautiful cliff, and just got everything that he talks about when you talk about connecting people to it and being outside. It's going to be an unbelievable experience that people are going to remember for a long time.
How long did it take for the completion of that 19th hole?
We started working on it. You know, we were dabbling with it throughout the whole process of building the golf course, you know, just trying to figure out how we were going to do it and where we were going to do it. And John was, you know, we would do a few things and then change them. But really the true construction on that 19th hole probably took, about a year and a half to really, you know, after we buckled down and got on it. And then I have some pictures that show you what it looked like about 3 weeks out from the event, and it's pretty crazy how far and how fast we got it all to come together. But it was a true special place, and our golfers that have been coming right now have been just loving being on it, and it's just going to be a great way to end playing Payne's Valley.
Yeah. Are a lot of people now, Todd, coming in and want to play Payne's Valley because it's the most recent that's opened, plus it's by Tiger? Or are they still playing all the other courses as well?
Our golf at Big Cedars absolutely exploded with this event. A lot of people are coming to play Payne's Valley, but they're also playing all of our other golf courses. You know, Ozarks National got voted best new golf course in the country, you know, in 2019. So we got a lot of people still coming and wanting to play it as well. But we have actually seen an explosion in all of our properties. I've been very, very, very busy with people, and it's been a lot of fun for us to see that happen.
Well, I work part-time at Sea Island, and one of the guys came up to the tee yesterday, in fact, and he said he had just played Payne's Valley and a couple of the other courses 2 weeks ago and said it was just incredible.
Well, that is awesome to hear, and you know, John deserves all the credit because he had the vision and he had the drive to do it and the passion to do it all, and I'm just lucky to be a small part of it.
Well, not a small part. I mean, you got a lot to do. I mean, you got a lot of courses to maintain. How hard is it for you and your staff to maintain these unbelievable golf courses and the design of them every day?
Well, this year was a little harder than most with the COVID stuff going on and
right.
Staffing issues that we had to have early on, you know, along with getting golf courses ready. And then, you know, we had three events on top of that this year. You know, we had the two champion tour events, PGA
right.
Tour champion events within 10 days. You know, we hosted that at Ozark National and at Buffalo Ridge Springs back in August. And then we had the opening of Payne's Valley this year. But a lot of our golf courses are very environmentally friendly. We're working towards being the only property in the country to be Audubon certified for all five golf courses. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Audubon
Wow.
International, but it's a organization that you set benchmarks, you do things, and you become environmental stewards under some guidelines that they have. And so we're really excited about that, to be the only property in the country to have all five of our properties be environmental sanctuaries. And so, you know, we take it seriously on our end, protecting
yeah.
the environment on the maintenance side of it. And, you know, we got big properties to get over, a lot of acreage to get over. But I've got a good, dedicated team under me that makes me look good and and a lot of hard work. But we enjoy it. And you get to go into work every day in the beautiful Ozarks Mountains, so you can't complain
yeah.
too much.
Yeah, I hear you. How often do you get to play?
I like to play golf, except I've been a little busy the last 5 years on golf courses. So, I played in high school, and I used to be good back then, or better than I am now. I don't know about good, but better than I am now for sure. But
yeah.
I get out every once in a while and swing the sticks whenever I can.
Well, give our listeners the website and so they can go to it and learn more about all that you've got to offer.
It's if you guys all want to go, it's www.bigcedar.com. And you can click through there. You can see all the resort, see our nature preserve down there, our Dogwood Canyon that we didn't even talk about, the 10,000-acre nature preserve that John owns. We got a wonderful, breathtaking museum in Springfield that's connected to the Big Daddy store up there, Bass Pro store, that people can visit. But you can find the golf courses. There's all kinds of links on there. You can click to the Big Cedar Golf, and then you'll find all five golf courses. And you can find, work out your staying, call our folks there, and they'll get you hooked up with whatever accommodations you'll need.
All right. Todd Bone, thank you very much for being with us, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for allowing me to join you today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Todd Bone, the Director of Agronomy at Big Cedar Lodge, where Tiger Woods just opened up Payne's Valley. It's a great place. Look it up online, Big Cedar Lodge. You'll be amazed, as I was talking with Todd. Back Nine Boys is on every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 9 and on ESPNCoastal.com. Join us every week if you'd like, and thank you for being with us today. Take care.